AM 1070, The Answer.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome to a show of faith where minister, priest, millennial, and rabbi discuss events in the news with each other and with you. So please, call in with your questions, call in with your comments. You can agree with us, and you can even disagree with us. But we ask you to agree to disagree, and don't become disagreeable. Our priest is Father Mario Arroyo, pastor of St. Cyril of Alexandria in the 10,000 block of Westheimer. I think he's there.
He is not here yet.
Our reverend is David Capes. He is a Baptist minister, senior research fellow at Lanier Theological Library, but couldn't make it tonight, not feeling well. David, a refuah shlema, a complete recovery. Rudy Kong is our millennial. He's in the master's degree program in theology at the University of St. Thomas. He's also a systems engineer for the space program. I am Rabbi Stuart Federer of Congregation Sha'ar HaShalom, the Clear Lake area of Houston, Texas. Sharon, whose voice you just heard, is our producer and engineer. Jim is our screener of your phone calls, and Jennifer is our executive producer. And together, Sharon, Jim, and Jennifer help us sound absolutely fantastic.
You are most welcome.
So, Rudy, are you there?
I am, Rabbi. How are you?
Oh, okay, good. I was wondering. So, even if the only other person with me is our resident conspiracy theorist.
No, I'm not. I don't care what. I know there's I forget who called in last time, but I'm telling you, Alex Jones keeps being right. So it's just.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Yes.
We can speculate, right? And we can. How do I say? We can let our mind wander in very deep and dark places that we know humans are very capable of, very capable of. We've seen it for thousands and thousands of years. Our oldest remains in burial sites either have honorary sort of symbology, anthropological symbology towards them, or they're like cracked skulls and bones and arrowheads in them. I mean, it's pretty, and children too. This isn't just, you know, so we're a very brutal race, so it's a very...
No question. There is no question, and it shows the necessity of religion, because if religion doesn't do anything at all, it certainly civilizes, pacifies, teaches morality and a standard of behavior that they're not going to get from anywhere else.
Order to the chaos.
Excuse me?
Mario, is that you? Welcome.
It is me. But I have to slightly disagree with you.
With which?
With
who?
Religion is going to pacify you. Religion, not all religions are equal.
Oh, no. I meant religion in general. You know, I was really speaking about Judaism,
No.
Even
think
then,
about
Rabbi.
Think about the Aztecs.
Think about what?
The Aztecs. They had a religion, and yet they were killing people left and right. Religion doesn't make you always good. Religion isn't always a moral.
Okay, then let me rephrase that. My religion certainly does. Can't say anything about anybody else's.
Well, Rabbi, my religion.
Now that got you quiet.
My religion is better than your religion, Rabbi. Okay.
Because there's a there. I also disagree with that. So
yeah.
I think it's the Judeo-Christian tradition. As much as you don't like that.
Mario, you're just so not controversial.
What?
Yes. The Judeo-Christian value system. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, because we are taught that God made us in his image and likeness. And therefore, we cannot.
And to see in the face of the other, the image of God.
That's right. And so, therefore, that is what makes our religion totally different. Totally different.
All right, Mario, I've been waiting.
I was going to say, although some aspects of Buddhism and Hinduism would also have that insight. But not inherently so, in terms of what I mean by all. I would believe that any Jewish Christian tradition would have a kind of a base, but not all Buddhist or not all Hindu traditions would have that, because there's lots of different interpretations, but there are many that do.
And every religion, including mine, including every religion at all, is going to have its aberrations.
Yes.
Okay, there's no question. But by and large, yes, I agree totally. Mario. Yes.
Rabbi.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you mean by aberration? So what would be an example? Like,
screwy people.
And I would. What's that?
No. I think that there are people who have come out of virtually every religious tradition who would basically be called terrorists, okay? And I do mean the Christian and Jewish traditions as well, okay?
Yes.
But I don't think they represent every other member or their religious tradition by their actions. You know, if the religion itself demanded them to do this sort of thing, which some do, there's a problem. But to say that there are nobody in every other religion who's ever done these kinds of things, I think is equally wrong.
Yes. By the way, how
I'm not going to ever say that we're all angels.
How did you ever start this conversation?
I can answer that.
I was teasing Rudy about being a conspiracy theorist, and he said, basically, and he's right, there's no question of it, is that the human species, is a very violent, I don't know what it will say besides that, can be a very violent, disgusting species.
Yeah.
And then I said that's why I look to religion to combat that part of our nature.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's how we got to this, Mario.
Yeah, I was. Go ahead, Rabbi. Sorry.
Well, no, I was going to switch topics to something I want to ask actually you both about. Okay, but go ahead. What were you going to say, Rudy?
Well, I think I don't know if Father Mario wanted to jump into what he had said, but I think it kind of plays into it too. But I was. It's just our nature, when you're created in the image and likeness, that comes also with great potential, and with an infinite spectrum. You know, even mathematically, to break it down that way, like quantitatively, you could have a wide spectrum of events or action to occur. So, it's hard to see all this sort of evil and stuff. You know, your mind can really wander into some dark places, and you know, so we have to be careful of our input and what we intake. So that was just kind of, so I know we can talk about conspiracy. We asked about conspiracy theorists, Padre, but you know, but it's also, what is the balance with what is actually true or not? You know, because if there is an injustice, we do as a community owe it to ourselves to provide for a secure environment, right? I mean, that's our duty, sort of as participants, as citizens, right? Especially in America, like if I see a crime or something going on, it is my duty to either report it, or I mean, there's authorities for that, right? Or to help alleviate it somehow.
Right. To do something about it.
Do something.
Yeah. Don't stand idle while your neighbor bleeds.
Yes.
All right. Sorry, we're coming up to a break. Mario.
Well, actually, we have about 4 minutes. We have about 4 minutes.
All right,
minutes.
Good. Then let me set this up, and when we come back, okay, you can give me your answers. All right? I have discovered something that I'm really beginning to love, and if I have the right equipment, which I may not, I think I'm actually joining. I'm going to join and start producing for it. But, Mario, are you familiar with TikTok?
I've heard of it, and I don't remember exactly what it's all about.
Rudy, TikTok is where people put up their own videos. They are 30 seconds or 1 minute in length, no more. And if I understand it correctly, TikTok will cut you off at 1 minute or 30 seconds. Okay, you tell it if it's going to be a 1 minute or 30-second video that you're making. And there are billions of these 30-second, one-minute videos that people upload, and you watch them, and they are on every single topic you can possibly imagine. Okay. And as you well know, it bothers the heck out of me. People making statements, for example, about Judaism in the Jewish community, that's just wrong. Right? Just wrong. So I recognize that if they can put up stuff about Judaism that's wrong, they can put up stuff about Catholicism that's wrong. So there's one gentleman, I don't know what else to call him, who is putting up videos that is absolutely vilifying the Jesuits. Okay? And all I can say is, what's the three-letter code? It's synonymous with what in the world, but that's not what they mean. WTF.
Oh, WTF?
Yeah. What in the world? I mean, I think I've said this, but I haven't said it in a long, 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 long time. But in the November of 1989 edition of what's that Catholic magazine? Our Daily Bread. Okay. Even that far back, I was quoted as saying that there's more anti-Catholicism in the United States than there is anti-Semitism. Since then, things have changed. Okay, since then, things have changed. But I've seen anti-Catholicism. But, oh my God, what is this thing about Jesuits? I've never heard this before. What is that all about? So I just want you to, who's a Jesuit? What is a Jesuit? Were they really kicked out of the church and then brought back? I mean, you're going to have to tell me about this.
Okay. Okay.
And every single high school. All right. Let's do that.
Okay. We have 1 minute to go, but I think we can go up to the break early. This is KMTH 1070, and we'll be right back. Hello?
On radio.com. This is AM 1070, The Answer.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the 3-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800 800- 800-583-8484. ReliefFactor.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-392-1373. That's 800-392-1373. Again, 800-392-1373.
The wise men who founded this nation truly wanted the nation's capital, the federal powers of the executive, to be as much of an irrelevance as possible. In the daily lives of Americans, they wanted Washington not to be an actor, not to be constraining them. This was a republic of states and of free men. But my, how that has changed.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka, weekdays at 3, right before Charlie Kirk at 5, on AM 1070. The Answer.
You're an angel to me, Johnny Angel. How I love him, how I tingle when he passes by. Every time he says hello, my heart begins to fly. Johnny Angel, how I want him. He's got something that I can't resist, but he doesn't even know that I exist. I'm in heaven, I get carried away. I dream of him and me and how it's gonna be. All the fellas call me up for a date, but I just sit and wait. I'd rather concentrate on Johnny Angel, 'cause I love him, and I pray that someday he'll love me, and together we will see how lovely heaven will be. And together we will see how lovely heaven will be.
Welcome back to A Show of Faith. Minister not here, but we have priest, millennial, and rabbi. So, Mario, by the way, on TikTok, one of the people I'm following is this woman whose voice is exactly like Karen Carpenter. And she specializes in singing her music. It's just unbelievable, the talent that's all over the place. Okay, so I see this guy, and he's just video after video after video talking about the Jesuits. And I thought, look, the most well-respected, well, maybe not the most well, who knows, I don't know all of them out there, but extremely well-respected schools are Jesuit schools.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. The Jesuits is a religious order, which means a group of men, in this case, they're men, that was founded as a result of a response to the Reformation in the 16th century. It was founded by a man who used to be a soldier, and he was wounded in a battle, and during his recuperation, he began, it was a long recuperation, and all he had where he was staying were books of saints. And he began a conversion process to being a very intentional and intense Christian and Catholic. His name was Ignatius Loyola. And so Ignatius began to want to respond to the suggestions of the Reformation and or the heresies of the Reformation. And he formed a group whose focus would be 100%, or pretty much 100% intellectual. He wanted them to be totally dedicated to the Pope and also hyper-educated to be able to confront the heresies that were cropping up in the 16th century. And so the Jesuits began as a group of men. They're pretty much compared to the Marines of the Catholic Church. And so they're, like I said, they're hyper-educated. All of them, or most of them, with doctorates. And they usually work in universities, teaching universities, or in Houston, they have two high schools, straight Jesuit, and the other one is, do you remember, Rudy, the other one? It's a school for poor kids. I'll think of the name in a few minutes. But anyway, in history, there have been times that they have become, even though they were dedicated to the Holy Father, they've made quite a few enemies from other religious orders started by other people, groups of men started by other people, chiefly the Dominicans, started by St. Dominic, and others, and Franciscans, started by St. Francis of Assisi. And I don't exactly remember the controversy, but I don't remember the century in which it happened, but I remember that it was the Jesuits were painted in a very bad light. 18th century, they were painted in a very bad light. Do you remember the details, Rudy?
Yeah, I do, actually. So number one, also, our current Pope is a Jesuit, Rabbi.
Right.
And the Jesuits...
I didn't remember that, but yes, okay.
Yeah, so you got to remember also that the Jesuits, like Father Mario was saying, they're super militaristic, but they're also like social justice warriors, kind of, and that's what they've really done in the past. And in the 18th century, they're sort of took off. You got to, like, the Jesuits controlled a lot of the educational systems in that era, right? A lot of universities, so they controlled... I mean, that's how it was thought of, right? Like they manipulated the psychology of the time. But during that time, it started a lot of the nation states started to turn against the Jesuits because they answered directly to the Pope, not to the nation state. So they really started turning against them and expelling them from everywhere. It was pretty bad.
Yes. And so they got to the point of being expelled from the church, not excommunicated, but disbanded as an order. And I don't remember, Rudy, how long that was in effect, but then they were reconstituted not too long after that. They were reconstituted.
Right, that's what this guy was saying.
They were reconstituted and brought back into the church. And, you know, many of them, I would not necessarily say all of them are social justice warriors. You have to remember that social justice, the way we use it in the Catholic Church, existed way before.
Yes, Father. The way that it happened. That's a good distinction that you're making.
The way that it's being painted today, social justice in the Catholic Church has never been that way. And so what we have to remember is that whenever we say social justice, our chief understanding these days is a very perverted understanding that has been given to it by Marxist-Leninist tendencies of critical theory. And so the Catholic social justice principle is they're actually quite quite normal and quite venerable in order for us to, you know, it's very simple to say what they are. First of all, there are seven issues that mainly stick with which are Catholic social justice principles. First of all, is the dignity of the human being. Second of all, the participation that each, you need to safeguard family and community. Third of all, property rights and responsibilities. Fourth of all, the common good. And fifth, human solidarity. And seventh, dignified employment. And so those are the principles, and peace and care for the needy. Those are the principles of social justice in the Catholic tradition. So, you know, it's the Catholic tradition has, in its social justice doctrine, has none of the Marxist tendencies that you see these days. And so that's why whenever I hear about social justice, I always have to say, wait a minute, what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with Catholic social justice? Because 98% of the time we're dealing with secular social justice, which has a Marxist-Leninist tendency. And so the Jesuits tend to focus a lot on that. They have been seen as a fairly liberal order, although not all. And like Rudy said, Pope Francis was a Jesuit, and he was made a bishop, and then he was elected pope.
Mario, this guy was, he called himself, he said he was raised as a Mennonite, but he seems to be, I would call it pre-Vatican Council Catholic. He claims he's not Catholic, but everything he says sounds very Catholic, sort of, maybe. Pre-Vatican Council, not the modern existence. One more thing, Rudy, because you're going to have to help me on this. Okay, yeah. Do you remember the movie V for Vendetta?
Yeah.
And you remember the mask that the guy wore? And it was supposed to be of a guy who tried to blow up Parliament or something like that in England?
Yeah, something like, yeah.
Okay. In his speech, in his TikTok, this guy was saying that the guy that tried to blow up Parliament was angry at James, King James, like King James Version, like the translator, because he was translating the Bible. Okay. And
okay.
No longer in the realm of anti Jesuit, but
But you know what?
What?
We have to go to a break.
Yeah.
We're a little overdue.
We're late.
Okay, this is KNTH 1070, and we'll be right back.
Ooh-wee, my feet are smiling. Is it possible to have smiling feet? Well, of course it is, especially if you've done what I've done, and that's get a pair of My Slippers from Mike Lindell, you know, the man who created My Pillow. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop My Slippers, and you can wear them indoors and outdoors all day long, and it's made with a MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Also, it's made with quality suede leather. And for a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want everybody in your family to have a pair. They'll all have what you have. Happy feet. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code KNTH. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or call 800-874-6540 and use the promo code KNTH.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers who are still making buying decisions this year and for next. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at surroundhouston.com. Surroundhouston.com, connecting you with new customers.
Hugh Hewitt says, don't be a bonehead.
Alarmingly, millions are skipping their second doses of the COVID vaccine. About 8%. of people. Now, we do have a knucklehead factor here, but go get your second dose. It makes you feel a little bit bleh for a day, and then you're fine. Don't skip your second dose.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings at 5, right before Sam Malone at 7, on AM 1070 and FM 1033. The Answer.
There she was, just walking down the street, walking, singing. Tapping her fingers and shuffling her feet, singing. She looked good, she looked fine, she looked good, she looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me, singing. Holding my hand just as natural as can be, singing. We walk on to my door. We walk on to my door. Then we kissed a little more.
Now, how can you beat lyrics like that?
Yeah.
How can you beat lyrics like that? Do what diddy diddy dum diddy do. There's no better lyric than that.
Thank you, Sharon, for playing that. That was fun.
Yes.
You are welcome.
Okay.
Variety is the spice of life. There we go, gentlemen. Enjoy.
Absolutely. Devin writes us, and he said it was Guy Fawkes. That was the answer.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, to the mask.
Okay, what were you saying? What were you saying?
That this person on TikTok with his tirade against the Jesuits called Guy Fawkes a Jesuit who didn't want the Bible translated into English and for which he was trying to kill off James of England, as in King James Version.
Okay.
But I couldn't remember Guy Fawkes. All right, so Mario, I read over and over and over your quotation about tarantulas.
Yeah.
And I don't have the I have no idea what that meant. Can you tell us?
Yes, I can. Okay, talk a little. First of all, let me quote it. And then I'll pull it apart.
Good.
This is from Friedrich Nietzsche. And Friedrich Nietzsche was a 19th century atheist philosopher, probably the most famous, or probably after Socrates, maybe, and Aristotle and Plato, at least one of the five most famous philosophers that have existed. He was an atheist, and he was not only an atheist, he was anti-Christian. But he wrote philosophy in a very earthy way. So here is the quote that I sent for us to discuss. Nietzsche investigated the role played by what he termed resentment in motivating what were ostensibly selfless actions, and often exhibited too publicly these selfish acts. So I read this in Gordon Peterson, and Gordon Peterson is applying the quote from 19th century Nietzsche to a lot of social justice warriors, but not Catholic social justice. Social justice warriors.
No, secular form.
That's right. Okay. Now, here's the... You got to read it slowly because... I'll explain it. Here's Nietzsche talking. For that man may be delivered from revenge, that is for me the bridge to the highest hope and a rainbow after long storms. He is hoping that man be delivered from revenge. That's why he said, it is for me a bridge to the highest hope and the rainbow after longs. Then he goes into naming what he is calling the tarantulas. The tarantulas are people who want 100% equality. Now, here's how he calls them, the tarantulas. Here comes, he goes on. The tarantulas, of course, would have it otherwise. And then he quotes the tarantulas. What justice means to us is precisely that the world be filled with the storms of our revenge. Thus, they speak to each other, the tarantulas. Then, tarantulas once again. We shall wreak vengeance and abuse on all whose equals we are not. Thus do the tarantula's hearts vow. And the tarantulas continue, and we will to equity. Equity shall be henceforth be the name for virtue. And against all of that has power, we want to raise our clamor. Against everything that is powerful, we want to raise our clamor. Then Nietzsche comes back again and saying to the tarantulas, you preachers of equality, the tyrant, the mania of omnipotence, clamors thus out of your need for equality, because your most secret ambitions to be tyrants thus shroud themselves in words of virtue. Does that make it any clearer?
It's a little clearer.
Yeah, he is basically saying that. Now, he was not in the environment of equality of secular social justice today. He was talking about, because Nietzsche felt that what a human being had to aspire to is not equality for everybody, but to be an overman, to be a kind of a superman, okay? And he is seeing the desire for equality as bringing everybody down to the lowest common denominator, and then whoever brings everybody down to the lowest common denominator, they will be the tyrants over those people at the lowest common denominator.
Okay,
that's why he calls them the tarantulas.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's like the spiders rising. Right.
Yes,
it's like the spiders rising
the
up
tyrants.
To bring everybody down to their level.
That's right. And then that's why he says the tarantulas would say, and the will to equality shall henceforth be the name for virtue. And against all that has power, we want to raise our clamor. That is the tarantulas. And then he says Nietzsche says to the tarantulas, you preachers of equality, the tyrant mania of omnipotence clamors thus out of you for equality. Your most secret ambitions is to be tyrants, thus shrouded yourselves in words of virtue.
Okay, and you said that this was an entire quotation found in the writings of whom?
Friedrich Nietzsche. It's actually I found it in Jordan Peterson's book.
Okay, by the way, speaking of TikTok, Jordan Peterson puts out TikTok videos. 30-second, one minute, and they're incredible. Okay.
Yeah.
He's more of a psychologist than a political commentator, but it sounds to me like this is a perfect description of the equity, or I can't remember which is which now, that the leftists are trying to do. They're trying to bring everybody down to their level. They're not.
That is correct. But remember, of course, Nietzsche wasn't trying to do it from the perspective of racism or feminism or anything like that. He was talking about it from the fact that he felt that human beings, all desiring to be equal, were bringing people's desire of excellence and of rising above mediocrity down. And those are the people he calls the tarantulas. And so Jordan Peterson sees the same dynamic okay, the same dynamic that the people who are calling, wanting everybody to be equal, are actually wanting to be the dictators. And you see that in communism. In communism, you see that the dictators of communism, they all live high on the hog, but and they call it virtue, and then everybody else lives on the bottom. If you look at Cuba, that's exactly what happened. And now look at what the Black Lives Matter lady or ladies who started Black Lives Matter, it's been all over the news. She's buying million-dollar homes. Okay, and so this is constant, where people who want to fight for everybody else, all of a sudden they begin to benefit themselves, and they do what we have come to call virtue signaling. And virtue signaling is done by, especially by people who are rich and people who are powerful, because they feel like in signaling their virtue, they themselves will not be pictured as part of the problem. They will be pictured as allies.
Mario, it's more than that. They think by their virtue signaling that they are not part of the tarantula community. They're above them.
That's right.
And therefore, they have a right, and they deserve the million-dollar mansions.
That is correct.
It's deeper and more elitist. You know, it's why they can claim, and this is not a statement about global warming or climate change, okay? Because I'm not talking about that, okay? But it's why the vice president, you know, can take jets while complaining about, you know, airlines.
Yes.
I can't think of his name. It just went out of my head. Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember who you're talking about.
Well, what we need to do is leave on the
16-year-old girl.
Gentlemen.
I'm sorry?
What we need to do is leave on a jet to a break, is what we need to do.
That's true. Mario.
Phil, yes. I got so enthusiastic that I forgot about our break. Okay, this is KMTH 1070, and we'll be right back.
On radio.com, this is AM 1070, The Answer.
If you're in HR, you're probably wearing a lot of hats. Recruiter, team builder, trainer, mediator, policymaker, and of course, paper pusher. But not anymore. Bamboo HR is the number one HR software for small and medium businesses. It manages all your employee data easily and automates countless tasks so you can focus on people, not paperwork. Bamboo HR frees you from spreadsheets so you can do your real job, creating a great place to work. If the data shuffle and paperwork mountain have you ready to hang up all your hats, you're ready for Bamboo. If you handle HR records and paperwork, Bamboo HR is a dream. Let us free up your time and put your days of pushing paperwork behind you so you can focus on the people and making your company a great place to work for everyone. Try PC Magazine's top pick for HR software free today. Just go to bamboohr.com/HR. This is a limited offer, only available to radio listeners at bamboohr.com/HR. That's bamboohr.com/HR.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-392-1373. That's 800-392-1373. Again, 800-392-1373.
Charlie Kirk wants to know what the mask is doing to our minds.
What has not been discussed at all is, what are the potential downsides of masks? I do not even mean epidemiologically or medically. I'm just talking from a human perspective. Do you think that we are appreciating each other's humanity more or less?
The Charlie Kirk Show. Afternoons at 5, right before Larry Elder at 6, on AM 1070 and FM 103.3, The Answer.
Yep. Doot, doot. do, doodle doodle do, doodle. What do you see?
The sun is rising. Most definitely. A new day is coming. Ooh, people are changing. Ain't it beautiful? Ooh, crystal blue persuasion.
Welcome back again to Show of Faith on AM 1070 The Answer. By the way, Mark and Devin remind me it's Al Gore.
Okay.
Mark and Devin.
Just
go ahead.
Let me just one more quote from the same, a little further down in Nietzsche, but one more quote. Listen to this. This is priceless. He's talking about the tarantulas. He says, out of every one of their complaints sounds revenge. In their praise, there is always a sting, and to be a judge seems bliss to them. But thus I counsel you, my friends, mistrust all in whom the impulse to punish is powerful. They are people of a low sort and stock. The hangman and the bloodhound look out of their faces. Mistrust all who talk over much about their justice. Verily, their souls lack more than honey. And when they call themselves the good and the just, do not forget that they would be Pharisees if only they had the power. Of course, he was talking about the overlooking the Pharisaical comment. He was going out of the Christian comment culture. But, I mean, that is amazing.
In this quote, Mario, I prefer it to the beginning of the one, you know, the first one that we were talking about earlier, because the first one makes it sound like it's revenge. It's all revenge. But I think the real issue isn't revenge. It's power. If people want to have power, they want to have control. They're control freaks. And they want to control everybody else. And they want to be above control. They want to be the ones in control. I don't think it's revenge. I'm not sure why he said that in the first quote.
Yeah, I don't know, but to me, this is one of the most interesting parts. And again, we have to remember that Nietzsche is talking, giving this criticism, but he is giving it this criticism of actually of equality workers, and many of them Catholics and Christians who are seeking for equality. But his problem is that the ideology that he sees in that brand of Christianity is bringing down everybody into an insipid level. He's really outraged against a Christianity that makes everybody humdrum, that refuses to accept any enthusiasm and to reach for higher. And that's why he's saying bring everybody down. But the impulse that he's criticizing is exactly the same impulse that is being applied today, only it's mixed with a Marxist ideology.
Marxist,
Rudy,
are
you in agreement with what I'm saying?
You know what's fascinating is that we find these, the passage you just read before, what a stark warning, you know, that he gives. And here he is, and here we are, what, 200 years later? And it's almost like we have these cyclical events where we don't learn. It seems like somehow we're trying to, like, erase. It almost seems like, man, what was that movie? It's something out of George Orwell, you know? The more, like, our history is almost forgotten or erased. That's why I always say it's so important to, I don't know, we don't do enough maybe from a Catholic perspective, correct catechesis, but even from a citizen perspective, study enough history and philosophers and the ravages of war. I think that people need to know and understand this. Like, yes, let's talk about the Holocaust. Yes, let's talk about the killings in Cambodia. Let's talk about it. Like, the more we hide behind this this sort of nebula of knowledge where, no, let's not talk about that because it's taboo, or you're going to hurt somebody's feelings, or we can't have that. We don't have the luxury as a culture to allow us to fall in that type of sort of egotistical derangement where we don't think that we're going to fall right back into those deep pits of violence. I mean, we're right there. And this ideology, he's completely right, Padre. I mean, you just want to invert the power to do what? You know, to control.
Yeah. Well, Nietzsche was very right on so many things. Of course, I disagree with him in his negation of Christianity, but I think to some degree he's right even in that, because ultimately his experience of Christianity was a very insipid Christianity that was being shown to him.
Probably maybe somebody even like Luther, you know, like his disgust with what he was seeing in the current, let's call it church, Catholic Church, was very well placed. You know, maybe what he did after wasn't, you know, there's a lot to that, and, you know, too much to maybe unpack right now. But absolutely, like, that anger is rightly placed. We should strive for more, but he said some very nihilist things too. You know that.
Yeah.
That without religion and God, you might as well just pretty much end your own suffering, because there's no point.
But actually, he does say that without religion and God, I don't know if you ever read like the issue about his eternal recurrence, but he did not believe in God, and he said life without God is horrible. But he says you still have to live it. And you still have to be able to relive it. In order for you to be a truly superman, you have to say, my boring, disgusting life is my life, and I am willing to live it over and over and over again, regardless of its disgusting. That's the answer he came up with. Because he said, without God, there is no hope, there's no morality, there's no ground on which to walk on. And it's all about whose power, who has more power, okay? And it really is. And then he says, but you have to be able to live that life over and over and over again, to rise, you know, individually above the herd.
I found Nietzsche a bit metaphysically weak, but his philosophy quite intriguing, I would say.
Yes.
Because
yes. But wait a minute, Rudy. What do you mean by that? What do you mean metaphysically weak? What does that mean?
Well, look, I love science, right? And I know we have to go to a break here in 2 minutes, so, you know, maybe we could come back to this. But when I think of, like, the first cause, you know, in some of Aquinas' arguments, or the ontological argument first presented by Anselm, and, you know, and the first cause is, where do things originally, or, you know, come from? What was that initial precursor of event to generate whatever, right? He breaks it down to, Aquinas does a wonderful job, right? But to me, is that when I start thinking of it, okay, let me look at my present creation and where I am in history, and how did we become to be, and where does humanity come from, and how did we evolve? And it's like, your recursive doesn't make sense. I didn't create myself. You know, we are dependent on an external creator that caused our event, you know, and we could make the argument that, you know, the free will of the parents and this, but even then, somehow it was that spermicide meeting with that egg that generated you in this time and place. So to me, there's a lot of holes in it, but he does question. See, he was a great philosopher, and also he was more of a psychologist too, I think. Right, Father, you would say? I know we have to go to a break right now, but...
Yeah.
But that tells you why he was quoted by Jordan Peterson, because Jordan Peterson...
Correct.
Also
He's a clinical psychologist too, correct.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, Nietzsche was not a trained psychologist, but he was...
No,
he had
no.
many, many deep psychological insights. He was a brilliant man. He just came to the wrong conclusions on several things.
Yeah.
But we got only a few seconds to go here, so allow me to make the transition to take us to a break. And we're going to continue this when we get back, okay?
So this is
KNTH Daily. This is KNTH 1070. You are listening to the Show of Faith. And come back right after the news. You will be glad you did.
KNTH and K277 EFM Houston, AM 1070 TheAnswer.com. SALM on the NASDAQ, a service of Salem Media Group, AM 1070 and FM 103.3, The Answer.
AM 1070, The Answer.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
And the show of faith is back, where minister, priest, millennial, and rabbi discussing events in the news with each other and with you. So call in with your questions, call in with your comments. You can agree with us, you can disagree with us. We ask you to agree to disagree and don't become disagreeable. Our priest is Father Mario Arroyo, pastor of St. Cyril of Alexandria, the 10,000 block of Westheimer.
Our reverend is David.
Good to have you here. Our reverend is David Capes. He's Baptist minister and also the senior research fellow at the Linnea Theological Library, but could not be here tonight. Rudy Kong is our millennial. He's in the master's degree program in theology, University of St. Thomas. He is a systems engineer for the space program. I am Rabbi Stuart Federow of Congregation Sha'ar HaShalom in the Clear Lake area of Houston, Texas. Sharon is our producer and engineer. Jim is our screener of your phone calls. Jennifer is our executive producer. And together, Sharon, Jim, and Jennifer, they are the ones who help us sound fantastic.
You are most welcome.
Sharon, it's nice to hear your voice singing with me on some of the bump music.
You're welcome. I'd like to try and harmonize in my earphones here. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, me too. So, Rudy, I want Rudy to say what he said before we left, but try to put it in language I can understand.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Okay, metaphysics. So we were talking about Nietzsche, right? And
right.
We've been talking about this quote that Father Mario said, and kind of very prevalent that Jordan Peterson brought up, with a lot of this virtue signaling that's been going on today, and sort of the, what would you call it? Maybe the psychological roots of that, or the inherent hypocrisy. Of that behavior and the turnouts that is had in our past. And what I mentioned is I like Nietzsche as a philosopher. I think he's a good critical thinker, and he really helped in a lot of where we are today with clinical psychology historically, right? He's kind of one of these pioneers of really studying the mind, had a lot of leisure, experimented a lot, but metaphysically, which is sort of the study of philosophy, that's a lot to do with like the state of being, or causes. I just don't see. I mean, he kind of tackles it. He's kind of a sort of humanist, but he can turn very dark, and he says it quite clearly in several of his pieces. I mean, that without religion and God, there's an inherent disorder within our culture. But you know, like Father Mario was mentioned earlier, he was responding to his current subjective interpretation of what was going on during that time that he saw was not correct in society, in that culture today. You know what's interesting? Would that make him a type of tarantula? Aren't we all tarantulas in our own sense? You know, where we judge others and virtue signaling?
No, I don't see us as tarantulas, because we're not trying to bring down everybody else to our level. To the contrary, I would like to believe, at least, that we are trying to elevate people up to raise them up, not bring them down. We're not trying to.
That's the argument, Rabbi, that a lot of these people.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Quote unquote, the social justice, secular understanding, you know, these people that want equality for all, they see their action as positive and as raising, you know,
Wait. Rudy, the best example that I think is out there is the response to the need for health care. And they rant and they rave about the elite, which they don't realize they're a part of, having access to better health care than the people who are impoverished. They don't want to elevate the poor to a better access to health care. Their intent is only to bring the wealthy down to the level of having bad health care like everybody else. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't see them. I don't see us doing that at all. I see us as, you know, as a matter of fact, I'd say the majority of people, well, let me put it this way, the non-leftists, okay, the non-leftists, even the liberals want to elevate others. They don't want to bring everybody down to a spider's level. They want to elevate people up, bring them up. So, no, I don't think it's the same. And maybe that's very self-serving of me or blind or whatever, but no, I don't think we're doing the same thing at all. I don't think I wouldn't equate their morality with ours. I'd call them, there's a lack of morality.
As a matter of fact,
the only standard that they want to be compared to for their ethics and morality is their own mind, which can change on a whim. That's why eventually they eat their own. Okay. The religious community has a standard of behavior to which a person's behavior can be compared. I can say to somebody who has a belief system, whatever the belief system is, you're not acting in consonance with your belief system. You're doing things against what your religion says, not what your religion says to do. But the people who are without God, without religion, without a theism, okay, without a standard of behavior demanded upon them by the base of moral and ethics that they claim to be a part of, they can do anything they want, which is, you know, Dostoevsky and Nietzsche, like Mario was just saying, and Woody Allen, for that matter. No, I don't think we're the same thing at all. We're the leftist and the right, and even the far right. Well, maybe not the far right, but we're saying that instead of bringing down the wealthy to the level of the poor for in everything, because the state will own everything, they're saying, you know, elevate the figure out a way to give access to better health care to the people who are below the poverty level. Not the same at all. Still there?
Yeah, I think it's a derangement, Rabbi, too, right? It's how can...
Oh, no.
How can
no,
they,
no, no, no.
How can they
no.
not bring change?
No.
What is that?
Rudy... I have to be very careful here. Okay, I don't see it as a derangement. A derangement means a mental illness, and for those kind of people, you put them in a hospital and get them medical care. I see it as evil, as people making the choice to do bad, and then rationalizing it and justifying it with no matter who gets hurt in the process. I see it as evil. You know, if you call something a medical problem, then call a doctor to repair it. A specialist, whatever, doctor to repair it. But when it's evil, then all good people should be reacting against it. All good people. You know, it's like they say, a person who commits mass murder. Oh, he must be crazy. Well, if he's crazy, then you bring a doctor to him. It's not craziness. It's evil. It's the choice to do what is wrong. And for that, the whole world must react. Don't stand idle while your neighbor bleeds. Rebuke your neighbor for the evil he does. Justice shall you pursue. Justice shall you pursue. It's an active fight, war of good and evil. But you make it a medical condition, take him to a doctor. Give him a penicillin shot.
Well, we can't do that, Rabbi. Well, actually, so do you know that Bill Gates, going back to conspiracy theories, Bill Gates found a gene that, a genetic sequence that he presented to the CIA that helps control religious extremism. So, hey, maybe he'll be able to edit that out of us. There's a genetic
sequence. I didn't follow what you said. There's a genetic code?
Yeah, there's a genetic sequence that he identifies that's consistent with religious extremism, and particularly in his studies with Islam, Muslims.
Well, we know that there is a part of the human brain on one of those brain scans that lights up. The part of the brain lights up when they're responding to spiritual stimuli. So, for example, the person will be told, you know, in whatever faith they come from, pray. And when they do that, okay, there's a part of the brain that lights up. And maybe that's the genetic part of this, I guess. So it doesn't surprise me, you know, but that brings up something that David Capes has said on our show a few times, is that we have eyes because there's light to be seen. We have taste buds because there's taste to be detected. And if the human brain responds to the spiritual, the numinous, the divine, the Shekhinah, it's because it's true also. It really exists as well.
That's a wonderful thing. I don't think I've heard
yeah, David
say that.
David did a big thing on it. It was brilliant, by the way.
Yeah.
Really. It's one of the more modern, what do you call it? Maybe like a proof for God or something like that. But at any rate, yeah.
But it's very true, though. I mean, if you think about it, we've adapted to our sort of creation and element to be able to coexist in sort of maximal synchronicity with it. You know, the way we were able to interface with our creation is fantastic. It's like, it's perfectly geared. It's a miracle how we, you know, whether you believe we're evolved or however you rationalize our existence as human beings and our creative structure. I mean, there's really something to that. It's the order behind it is just, to me, again, something that, going back to Nietzsche, it's just,
See,
maybe it's the lens with which I see things or was brought up in my environment.
Rudy, this is probably more philosophical, okay? But there's another element to something that David brought up, which is kind of like what you're saying. Okay, it shouldn't surprise us that human beings that came up, you know, be in relationship to our earth, to nature. Okay, we till the soil. We create tools to manipulate our environment. We take a machine that will change the body of air in which we live to make it a certain temperature and a certain amount of humidity in it. Okay, we manipulate our environment. Okay, animals do that. I just saw a picture of a bird putting something in the water. A bird putting something in the water to attract a fish so it could eat. Okay, but David brought up this part of this biological proof for the existence of God, I guess, is, I don't know what he called it, I can't remember that well, but it was very striking.
Well,
Okay, and that, yeah, we're going to have to go to a break. I'll come back with
it. Well, yeah, I was going to say that I need to put something in your ear to get us back to go into a break. So, this is KMTH 1070, and we'll be right back.
On radio.com, this is AM 1070, The Answer.
Randy Hames here, host of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, Saturday mornings at 7 on AM 1070, The Answer. Sponsored by Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. Sure, they're the live shrimp capital of Texas, but they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp and squid. And Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family feast? The freshest seafood like table shrimp and live blue crab are in stock at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the 3-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Mike Gallagher believes we're living in a backwards world.
The reason the left is mask obsessed is they're all about control. They love hearing Biden say, "I am going to grant your 3 wishes. Wish 1, you can now go outside if you're fully vaccinated and take off your mask." Do you not feel like we're in a total insane asylum?
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekday mornings at 10, right after Sam Malone at 7 on AM 1070, The Answer.
The Linda was mine till the time that I found her, holding Jim,
loving him.
Then Sue came along, loved me strong, that's what I thought, me and Sue.
Well, that died too.
Don't know the rules, but I'm still, I can't find me. Look at the stay, won't play games behind me, but I'll be what I am. The salad.
Had a tea here, being where love's a strong word. Part-time pain, pray for rain. Welcome back to a show of faith on AM 1070 Answer. Okay, so this was something that David brought up. I don't know how long ago, probably not recently. Okay, and let's just real quick, bear with me, okay? Rudy, the idea of survival of the fittest is that animals, people, whatever, have DNA that on occasion will mutate. We're seeing this in the coronavirus. So it'll mutate. Something major will happen that if those characteristics of the DNA or the characteristics of the mutation of the DNA set up the animal or the human or whatever, so that the changes that occur, those mutations or characteristics of the genetics make that entity more likely to survive because they have them, then when something happens in the world, they will survive it, which means they're the ones who carry on the genetics for the next generation, okay? The thing that he pointed out is that animals, I don't know if it, maybe it was mammals only, but he was talking about how the human brain has chemicals that, you know, it produces. The brain produces chemicals. One of which, and I don't remember what it is. Mark Devin, I hope you're still listening. You can help me with this. But there's a certain chemical in the brain that when the brain produces it, the animal or the person or whatever gets very calm, okay, and very, it gets very calm. I don't know what it's called. I don't know what it is. Okay. And maybe it is serotonin. I don't know. But they discovered that there are animals, which includes, maybe it's only mammals, maybe it's only human beings. I don't know. What they discovered is that when these animals are being eaten, their brains have an absolute rush of whatever it is, serotonin or whatever, that stops the animal from feeling the pain of being eaten and gives it a calm because there's not a blessed thing it can do about it. The point, though, is the animal's being eaten. It's not going to be survival of the fittest, survival of the animal that has the serotonin produced when it's being eaten. It's not going to prevent it from being eaten. So why does it exist? Because God and God's infinite mercy is merciful and gives that characteristic to animals, you know, that are going to get eaten. Because there's a God who exists, the animals will create the serotonin or whatever it is as an act of mercy and decency on God's part. And that's as an additional biological proof for the existence of God, which I thought was magnificent.
I find that interesting.
Yeah, I find...
I find that compelling.
Yeah, I mean, to me... When I look at biological proofs, I don't have much to look further than our own genetic makeup and even our atoms, and break it down even further, we're essentially cosmic dust. What's holding us together? You know, what is it that made our cells, atoms, quarks, electrons, molecules form into the earth, into this sort of organized creative space? It's just, you either think everything is just one astronomically small coincidence, but then you're still left to answer, how did we even become, at what point did the spark of consciousness happen? Or there is a creative designer, you know, there's a creator for us that has a purpose in this entire thing. So, and that's really, and to me, it just, the balance is just so obvious on one side. So the balance tips, obviously, at least from my subjective perspective, to one side. I mean,
Mario, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say this is a very good time to go on a break, and you haven't mentioned yet today's telephone number. So why don't you say
it? I did once. I haven't done it recently. 713-339-1070. 713-339-1070. Come on. You know you want to call us.
Okay. This is KNTH 1070, and we'll be right back.
On radio.com, this is AM 1070, The Answer.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers who are still making buying decisions this year and for next. Will they consider or even know about you? you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at surroundhouston.com. Surroundhouston.com. Connecting you with new customers.
While we may be able to postpone tax day, we all know the IRS is going to get paid. We just don't need to pay them too much. It's why, if you have an IRA or 401k, there is a big loophole you'll want to take advantage of. This loophole is 100% legal, allows investors to own physical assets like gold and silver, all inside a tax-deferred retirement account. The best part? This plan has flat fees, so as your balance increases, your fees don't. Get your IRS loophole report from Advantage Gold. Our step-by-step guide lays out everything you need to know on how to do this right. From transferring the account, to selecting the assets, to protecting your portfolio in the most efficient tax structure. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get your IRS loophole report right now. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Dennis Prager has seen a lifetime of indoctrination.
The sheep-like behavior of the liberal can never be overstated. It is not possible to. A lifetime of indoctrination has convinced them that the right is where the danger lies.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3, on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
There's a kind of hush all over the world tonight, all over the world. You can hear the sounds of lovers in love. You know what I mean? And nobody else in sight. There's nobody else. And I'm feeling good, just holding you tight. So listen very carefully, closer now, and you will see what I mean. It isn't a dream. The only sound
show of faith on AM 1070 The Answer. Sharon, there are times where we go off the air and I want to hear the rest of the song.
Okay.
And I will go over to the I'll go over to Alexa and I'll say, Alexa, play Kind of a Hush by
Herman's
Peter
Hermans.
Noon and the Herman's Hermits.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's something about that whole music and that whole genre, you know. 60s era. I just love that. Love it. Can't get enough.
Me too.
Can't get enough.
All right. So we have somebody on hold, I think.
Yes, we do. We have Bill on hold. Just a moment, please. All right. Bill is available now. Thank
Bill.
You.
Bill, I'm holding on to the bottom rung of the ladder right now.
The answer.
Hey, first off, I was, you know, the thing about Neil Diamond, you know, that song you had just a couple of minutes ago. That really touches me because coming from Cameron Bay to Tokyo, back from Vietnam, I relate so well. You know, on the boats and on the plane, they're coming to America. It felt like just like really, first time I heard like in relation to that, it was just unbelievable. Tears in my eyes. And we came to America. Made it back alive, too. But anyway, the reason I'm calling, I just thought I'd throw that in because it's the song, I saw the movie, too. Which is fantastic, coming to America, Neil Diamond, stuff like that. But anyway, the reason I'm calling, in this area, we have a Presbyterian church, and on it, you know, it's a rather small church, and they deal with people's transsexuals and, you know, people of that kind of movement and stuff, or move. And it says, Black Lives Matter to God and to us. And I looked at that. Well, first here, once again, society is affected it influenced the church as it did with the back when the Pentecostal movement came in the 1910s and 1920s. And, you know, if the blacks were, it was segregated. So here we have, you know, Church of God in Christ is all black. And then other thing, and then there was another movement later on with the charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church and a lot of others. And then people went different ways. And the way it's looking, like it got, first, all lives matter to God. But it's like isolating, okay, black lives matter only to God and to us, like nobody else. So here, I just thought I'd throw that out at you guys and see how you want to respond to that one.
I got to tell you something, Bill.
Go ahead, shoot. Not literally shoot, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, no, I know what you mean. I got to tell you, I don't look at it. I agree with the Presbyterian Church. Black lives matter to God and to us. I don't see a problem with the statement. Okay, black lives do matter to God and should matter to us. And right now, you know, I don't necessarily agree how they understand the police. Well, I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Hello?
Mario, what'd you say?
I don't know. I don't know who's talking in the background.
I'm not talking.
I can't hear it from where I am. But my point, Bill, is that right now the people who feel the most at danger, the most oppressed, the most, they're the ones who are looking for the most support. And a Presbyterian church putting on, you know, a sign that you know supports them. I don't think they're the only people whose lives matter, but if the black community feels that they need extra support right now, I'm not surprised that a Presbyterian church, especially a leftist one, will give them that kind of support.
Did we go over we went over way over on break, or did we just, no, we did go on to on a break. Are you guys hearing somebody breathing differently in the background?
Yes. I hear that from my cell phone here, too, and I have AT&T. It's not a drop call, so I don't know where it's coming from.
I don't either. It's kind of like somebody's moaning. I don't know.
I don't hear it.
It's not coming from here. Well, now I don't. Now it's be quiet.
No, I don't hear it. So. Hello, what's that?
And through the magic of radio, television, and such, we have to take a break early. Thank you for listening to AM 1070 The Answer. You can listen to us online as well. David in Dallas is listening as well this evening through our streaming capabilities on AM1070TheAnswer.com. My name is Sharon, and we'll be back shortly. Thank you for listening.
Ooh-wee, my feet are smiling. Is it possible to have smiling feet? Well, of course it is, especially if you've done what I've done, and that's get a pair of My Slippers from Mike Lindell, you know, the man who created My Pillow. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop My Slippers, and you can wear them indoors and outdoors all day long, and it's made with a My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Also, it's made with quality suede leather. And for a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want everybody in your family to have a pair. They'll all have what you have. Happy feet. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code KNTH. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or call 800-874-6540 and use the promo code KNTH.
With a Democratic sweep officially in place, we are now at the mercy of tax and spend economics. Get ready for runaway national debt pushing the further devaluation of the dollar. So if you haven't invested in gold, now is the time to protect your savings. Birch Gold Group is the premier precious metals IRA company. company in America. With an A+ BBB rating and thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold can help you move an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by gold. Go to birchgold.com/radio for your free information kit. That's birchgold.com/radio.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka sees a targeted attack.
I consider Rudy Giuliani a personal friend and without a doubt, one of the greatest Americans living today. What we are witnessing is the political targeting of individuals who fight for the truth.
America First with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Afternoons at 3, right before Charlie Kirk at 5, on AM 1070 and FM 1033. The Answer.
The smooth, mellow tones of Julie London. Enjoy. Cry me a river, I cried a river over you. Now you say you're sorry.
That's probably what, 1940s?
No. I don't know when it came out, but Julie London is just very soothing on this Sunday evening. Okay.
Beauty.
Here we go.
Cry me a river. Okay.
Yes.
That's a beautiful song, though.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cry a river.
Anytime.
All right. Well, welcome back to a show of faith on AM 1070 The Answer. So somebody called our show access to a 5,000-watt boombox. Our personal 5,000-watt boombox.
Because we sing along?
Yes, because we play music we love and we sing along with it. Hey, love our show, love us, love our music, love our singing.
I've always told you that we do that to help Houston do penance for its sins. So listening to us is doing penance.
There we go.
You see? Is Rudy still on?
No, unfortunately, Rudy is not on. Hopefully, he'll call us back.
All right. Okay, this is from Mark. And he always signs he signs as Presbyterian Mark. Keep in mind that the word Presbyterian means a form of church government. There are at least 6 Presbyterian denominations in this country, ranging from fundamentalist to progressive and in between, and those which have a fairly wide range of theology in their denomination. But I also agree, Black lives do matter to God and to the church. Grace and peace, Presbyterian Mark. That's because the church that Bill was talking about is Presbyterian. So Mark is pointing out that there's a variety of Presbyterians. Not all Presbyterians are alike. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the things that I find very confusing, is that there are so many Protestant denominations.
Yes.
Can't believe
David's not here to defend himself, but.
Well, that is true. Yeah, but I mean, it's. I've heard.
As a matter of fact, Mario, I think it's a fallacy. Yeah. I think it's a fact. I don't think they're right when they say sola scriptura. I really don't think the Protestants that claim sola scriptura are sola scriptura. Of course, I can't ask David about it, but they claim only sola scriptura, only the scriptures, that each denomination, person, whatever, should be able to look at the scriptures and come up with their religious truth. But I don't think they're only the scriptures. They're still coming at it from even the denominational interpretations of Scripture or their local ministers' interpretation of Scripture. There's a they're they're coming with the history of their own denomination's interpretation of Scripture. I don't think you can get away from, let me rephrase that. I don't think anything can possibly be truly sola scriptura. He's not here to defend himself, so is Rudy, are you back?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Now we can, yes.
I couldn't hear anything. Sorry, that was...
No, there was some very bad static. There was a while where I thought there was sound like a phone that was playing. I'm not sure what it was playing.
I don't know.
But, yeah, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I told Jim, I still think I'm being secretly suppressed by the California government out here, so... But that's just a conspiracy theory.
Well, you know, you probably are because you're not a liberal in a liberal state.
No, but
no, it goes back to what we were saying from Nietzsche. Okay.
Yeah.
Who are the? By the way, you should see the things on TikTok. Rudy, are you on TikTok?
No, I'm not. And let me tell you, I've deleted a lot of my social media. But
really,
I know what it is. Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what it is. It's actually TikTok. You know, people need to be very aware that these softwares, when they grab, so all these people, you know, they're videotaping all this stuff, you know, and they're recording all this in people's homes. And what people don't understand is that high-ranking officials, they have children too, right? And guess what they do? They film everything in all these devices, and they use facial recognition and... It's just, this was owned by a Chinese tech company. You remember Trump, there was an executive order to buy them out. I think there was I forget the other company. Well, I think it was a Microsoft and somebody else, but they had to buy a majority share. An American company had to buy a majority share because they had so much American data of its citizens. It's insane.
Well, they're... People who put every single thing, every aspect about their lives, every photograph, they love doing nothing more than taking photographs of themselves. It's what we would call voyeurs are the people who look at them. And there's a name for people who show themselves. I can't remember what it's called.
Rabbi, it's actually, it's created a lot of wealth.
Thank you, Mario. Exhibitionist. They are exhibitionists, and they put pictures of themselves on the. How can people be so naive that they think that they're people? I'm sorry, that they are going to put up everything they can about themselves. No secrets. Everything is exposed, and I use that word intentionally. Exposure. Okay, they're exposing themselves. Okay, and there's not. And people aren't going to grab at the information and use it for whatever purpose. Okay, I get on the Google search because somebody says the word Nietzsche. Okay, so I get on the Google and I type Nietzsche to see something about Friedrich Nietzsche. Okay, and then 5 seconds later, the ads that will come up on my Facebook are going to be all about books about Nietzsche or something to do with Nietzsche because I did a Google search on Nietzsche, meaning that Google and talking to Facebook using my search, my information, you know, something I'm putting up on Facebook, I'm sorry, something I'm putting up on the internet about myself, they're going to use to sell me something. So
yeah, you know that there's a humongous fight going on between Apple and Facebook, precisely because Apple has just put in a tremendous amount of privacy controls, and they are really it's running into Facebook's ability to make money, because that's what they do. They track you, and now if you look at the latest system operating system from Apple, it has tremendous privacy controls, and it keeps all kinds of people from tracking you. And what it does is it tells you who is tracking you, and it says, do you want this person? Do you want this website to track you? Who's tracking you? And they have to give permission.
Mario, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
There's a great scene in Animal House, okay, where, and I forgot the characters' names, okay, but there's a great scene. They've got their golf clubs out there, and they take a look at Niedermeyer, and they say, he's abusing our pledges. He can't abuse our pledges. Only we can abuse our pledges. So is this a case of Apple saying, Facebook can't have all this information to make money off of? Only we can have the information to make money off of.
And let me tell you, my experience with Apple has been nothing but good in terms of privacy. I have never been, Apple has never abused its information. As a matter of fact, Apple tells you, that, how they use your information and when they don't use it. One of their big things is privacy. Privacy is one of the big values that Apple has. So, yeah, I'll tell you, I've been with Apple since 1986, and I have yet to experience any undue misuse of information that they have on me. So, I don't know.
Apple's actually pretty notorious for being overly abusive with developers and content. Like, they're so big, and their products, I mean, they move markets, right? Did we take the last quarter hour break, guys? I didn't know.
Yeah, we did.
Okay,
yeah, we did.
When we had to get off because of the strange noise and things that were going on.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little early. That's what you're remembering.
So they actually control and mandate a lot of regulation and access to publishers of apps. Like, they want to be able to get into the information and see what's going on, which, good or bad, it gives Apple a lot of control and inherently a lot of value, right? Because it's going through their platform. Everything that touches.
But they refuse to. I will stand up for Apple on this. They do not allow you to track you. They don't track you for very much at all. And Apple
there's no like active. I mean, you're not being like followed by the government tracking you, but there are trackers that you have on your phone, like when you use the GPS. So there's a constant sort of capture of your data, but these guys aren't essentially publishing this information.
No, but what I'm telling you, see, the problem is that neither of you are Apple users. And I can tell you, as a longtime Apple user, that Apple has been nothing but respectful of my privacy over the 30 years that I have used them. Nothing but respectful of my privacy. And I have not seen it used in any way or my information sold in any way by Apple. So I stick up for them. When it comes to privacy, when it comes to their politics, I don't stick up for them because, they're still liberals. But when it comes to their attitude to privacy, no, I stand up for Apple.
In other words, Mario, they protect their customers.
Let me ask
they really
you guys.
Do.
Yeah. Father, you just said something very interesting. I don't agree with their policies, right? Which is, I mean, they're very pro BLM and a lot of these extremist organizations, and they've donated a lot of money to them, but you still use their products. So,
yes.
And the question is, I guess, should we be more stringent on what we consume, even from the marketplace, right?
Yes and no, because the problem is that if you follow the connections between companies, you're always going to have companies doing stuff that you disagree with. And you just have to make your decision as to how close do you want to, how much you want to not cooperate. What if a company is doing business with a company who's doing business with another company who doesn't, who you don't agree with? You know, that, this came up with the whole, with the issue of fetal tissue with the vaccine, you know, some Catholics saying no, you know. So, but the Vatican came out and said, look, the connection with these vaccines and fetal tissue is so remote that you would have to do stop doing business with almost everybody, because everybody is going to do something that you don't agree with. So I'm in agreement with, you know, if like, for example, if Apple were doing direct and public support of abortions or stuff like that, I would have to really think seriously. But I haven't experienced that. Okay. Like, for example, I'm quite upset with Disney, because Disney keeps ABC, and ABC is extremely repressive, and so is CBS and NBC, which are owned by others, by other companies that are also very repressive and extremely liberal. So you have to make your choices, but you can't ultimately, you know, just say anything that I disagree with, I'll stop using it, because you're not going to be able to live in society.
Mario, and there's also no way anymore to know who really owns what. We may know, for example, that Disney owns ABC or whatever, but there's plenty of organizations, there's plenty of businesses out there that donate to them. And in this day and age, you can't know who owns what corporation owns what underneath it. I mean, have you seen the list of what PepsiCo owns?
No. I mean, it's, or Disney.
Well, not just Pepsi.
Rabbi. Or Nestle. These companies are massive.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. Huge.
Rudy, this is before your time, and I have no idea the status of it, okay? But there is a certain corporation that is vast and huge that you happen to have just mentioned, one of them, that really did something super ultra sleazy in the Far East. I got to be careful because I don't want to. Okay. Basically with baby formula. And they were teaching women in third world countries not to nurse their children, but instead we will give you baby formula because it's healthier and it's better, and we put in all these great, you know, additives and things.
That was me.
What?
That's what they told my mom. That was me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you something. This corporation, when the women stopped breastfeeding, they stopped producing milk. They stopped lactating.
Correct.
And at that point, the company said to these third world women, oh, by the way, now you got to pay for it. And that by that time, they were dependent on the baby formula because they stopped lactating. And there was a national American boycott against this well-known company, food manufacturing company.
Well,
okay.
And guess what?
But who knows who they own? Who knows who they own? We don't know who they own anymore. And I have no idea if they're still. But even the fact that they did this practice is so sleazy to me. I don't want to have anything to do with what they're normally known for producing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
well,
can't tell anymore.
Folks,
not to mention you don't know who they're donating to.
We got to start bringing this down because we now have about a minute left.
Yep.
So, Padre, what do we want to say in the last minute?
I would like to ask you for our next show what you think of if Apple donated to Planned Parenthood. Would you give up your iPhone?
Really? They did?
I don't know. I don't know if they did or not.
You got a week to think about it.
I don't know. Yeah, I would have to, seriously. But then again, I would have to see about Samsung if they donated. Or
yeah. Oh,
any
no, I agree. Yeah, no, to your point, the supply chain, right? It's
yeah.
Where do you draw the line?
So anyway, we got to go because this has been a great show. This has been 1070 KNTH. Listening to the show of faith. Keep us in your prayers, you know, because you are going to be in ours.
KNTH and K277 EFM Houston, AM 1070 TheAnswer.com. SALM on the NASDAQ, a service of Salem Media Group. AM 1070 and FM 103.3 The Answer.